Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Oh, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 222, episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist. It's a production of iHeartRadio, and obviously, this is the podcast where we take the deepest of dives into America's shared conscious. It is, consciousness. Sorry, y'all, I was hitting a pre-roll in the parking lot, and I'm not at my most articulate this early in the morning. It's Monday, January 31st, 2022. That means it's National Backward Day. Bust out your old crisscross fashions and jump with it. Also, it's Inspire Your Heart with Art Day. And I don't know what that means. I guess maybe just... What would you say that is, Joelle? I'm sorry. I hate to just, you know, just reveal that you're the guest host today.
No, fucking intro. Fucking intro. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to acquaint it to Carrie Fisher's Mend Your Broken Heart with Art. Okay, whose heart isn't broken right now? It's chaos out there.
Yeah.
So you make some art and you mend that broken heart.
How do you, if you had to inspire your heart with art, what would you consume or create?
I would watch one of my favorite movies, Waitress, because it's about how she makes pies to heal her broken heart and get out of an abusive relationship. And it's so perfect and it's so beautiful. And it's like the only film from that director because... she was unfortunately murdered, and it was really sad. But it's a great film. So you got to, if you haven't seen Waitress or the Broadway musical, which I think is still up right now, you should definitely go do it because it's excellent.
Okay, that was a lot of depth to that one, and I might have to check that out as well. Well, let's get into it though. I am Miles Gregg, aka to the moon with this mother sucker. We got a real zeitgeist coin going down, getting down. There's a whole lot of profit going round. Bop, 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 da-ga-da-ga-da. Say we never funge. Ba-da-ba-da-da. Give up the funge. We never funge.
Yes.
Gotta stop that funge. Okay, you might have heard of Zeitcoin. Yeah, you know, we're getting into crypto. Not seriously. But maybe if I can grift some of y'all, maybe we will put the Zeitcoin out. But shout out to The Brew on Discord and also Scouty Magoo. I saw you say maybe add to the moon in the intro to keep that crypto vernacular intact. And speaking of vernacular, speaking of someone spectacular, I am thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host. You already know what time it is when I'm going to say this name. Brilliant, talented, got their hands in so many different podcasts. It's just a media critic, an MC sometimes, a poet, and just someone who's, you know, whenever I need something to watch or just get a take on a film, I'm going to ask her. Please welcome Joelle Monique.
Pow, pow, pow. You might know me as the Marvel Defender.
There
I think Justin prefers Avenger because it's actually Marvel. So you know, you could just choose. You choose your words and it's fine. Hi, I'm really excited to be back.
it's
even
all
though I think I would be horrified by the news today. I think it's all very scary.
There's all, yeah. I mean, hey, but at least let's laugh at the hellscape, huh?
I'm always excited to process scary news with you, though, Miles, because you put perspective on it. You're like, no, it's not. It's scary, but it's not that we haven't been through it before.
Yeah.
Context.
Or it's scary, but like, and maybe it's like, it's scary and we never been through it before. Get ready, y'all, to knuckle the fuck up. And maybe there's that too, but at least we can do it with a smile on our face and trepidation in our hearts. But Joelle, I'm thrilled, okay, to introduce our guest, a first timer. Somebody we've not had on the show and someone that we are all going to have the privilege to hear for the first time. You may have heard her guest on the Guys We Fucked podcast. Maybe you know that she won the 2018 Harlem Comedy Festival.
Oh, shit.
Maybe you've heard her on Sirius XM. Maybe you heard her podcast, Sweet, A Lady's Guide to Bro Culture. But if not, then get ready. Because we are very, very honored to welcome for the first time the wonderfully hilarious Gina Bloom.
Pew, pew, yeah. Pew.
Gina.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listing my meager and vague accomplishments. I hope that the legions of fans of all of those things are happy to have me aboard today.
Oh, they absolutely are. And I mean, those are not meager accomplishments. The only time I've intersected with Sirius XM is when my free subscription ran out, that like 6-month trial. And I'm like, damn it. I could have used a few more listeners.
I was on a talk show with a fin dom. It's a financial dom. She basically extorts men's money for their sexual pleasure. And
what a
dream
job.
Ooh. Yeah, it was kind of inspiring.
Totally.
It was nice. And it wasn't at the Sirius studio. It was at the building where the Vivid studios are, the Vivid porn studios.
Oh, on Ventura?
Oh.
On Ventura, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up
right
around the corner
from there. Miles knew the address.
Look,
yeah.
That's the Valley. That's the Valley. I'm a Valley native. I grew up.
Yeah.
That's right across the street from what used to be called Sages, but now Universal City Nissan.
Universal City Nissan.
Where Ghislaine Maxwell was photographed with that book. I can tell you everything.
Yeah. Where your job is your credit. At Universal
City
Nissan. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a longtime Valley resident as well. So that was
nice,
fun.
Nice.
But there was
the best
audio
Indian food restaurant is up there. Or wait, it's Bangladeshi. It's right around the corner from that. It's so good. You guys ever been to Royal Curry?
I don't know. I've never
no.
been. I'll have to check it out.
Dude, yeah, check it out. Sorry, I didn't jump in. That's like my favorite
spot.
My
card right there. Okay. Wait, sorry. What were you saying? That there was nosebleed at the studio?
Yeah, I was saying that there was nosebleed from like the porn. There was porn being shot in the adjacent studio. So we were podcasting while there was porn coming through the walls, like live porn.
Ooh, so, atmosphere.
Is that at that point? Can you get a copyright strike if you're merely trying to record your thing and there's porn sound bleeding into your recording? Like, what are the laws there, I wonder?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I wonder what happened with that episode.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what, Gina? Oh, wait. Oh, but the other thing you said you've been in the Valley a long time. Are you from the Valley or where are you from originally?
No, I'm from the state of Florida, which is interesting because we have a Florida item on the news today. So I have a lot of context for that. But I moved shortly after graduating college to LA, lived all over town, but a lot of the time, most of the time, floating around the Burbank, Toluca Lake, Van Nuys, North Hollywood, Nexus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where when a lot of people relocate to LA, their first place is usually in North Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, it's just close enough to things I need to be in. And it's not so exorbitantly pricey that I can't.
It's the cheapest
place
you can live off of the Red Line, like directly off of it. And if you first moved to LA, so many of us didn't have cars. Just hop right on that train, you're good to go.
You can go right into Hollywood or downtown and pretty soon maybe more west.
Come
on. But
imagine that.
Yeah, I know. Imagine if Beverly Hills let us build something through there.
I actually wanted people to get to it. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know how they think over there. They're like, well, if there's a stop here, that means they can stop here.
Ugh, you're going to bring the riffraff up to here, the rich area.
Y'all are the fucking riffraff. Fuck out of here.
Riffraff porn out of these trains. my favorite Valley tradition before we jump into too much is when you would go to the movie theater at Universal City Walk, but you're too cheap to pay for parking, so you park at the park and ride, and you walk all the way
up the hill
for like half a mile.
Yep.
No, I'm too fat for that. I've never done that. Just take a lift.
It made the journey special.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to really work for this shitty movie.
When sometimes they'll have like the shuttle that would take you up if the park is operating, because they know a lot of people metro in. But yeah, as a, you know, my privilege growing adjacent to in North Hollywood in the like near Universal, they would send people like residence parking passes. So like, yeah, you would just ball out. You're like, oh, that's $18. I'm like, take this pink piece of paper and give me my ticket, please. I'm trying to see Blockers for the fourth time.
That's right. I head over to the Abercrombie and Fitch.
Exactly. Let's first give the listeners what the hell we're going to be talking about today. You're right. We're going to take a little trip to Florida because Ron DeSantis is fucking angry that the damn FDA is saying that a COVID treatment is ineffective, but he still wants to use it. We'll unpack why he's caping for an ineffective treatment. We'll also check in with Nicolas Cage, who I didn't realize is might be a goth icon. Hello? Okay. We'll also talk about Biden's saggy polls. Ugh. See, you know, where all that energy is being directed, and if that's the right direction, spoiler alert, it's not. And then we'll talk about that really wonderful anti-vaxxer trucker convoy that I'm sure you've seen. People be like, look how brave they are. Look at the Canadian truckers standing up for the anti-vaccine mandates. Another spoiler alert. I think it might be a neo-Nazi parade.
Yes, Nazis.
But look, nothing surprising in this day and age, except for maybe this, Gina, because we want to get to know you a little bit better. So let us know what is something from your search history that reveals a little something about who you are.
I'm going to say a word. You may or may not know it. I don't want to make anyone's assumptions as to people's taste, but I didn't know it until I looked it up. And that word is Celebrimbor.
Ooh.
Okay, go on.
What does it mean?
I'm intrigued.
Celebrimbor is a figure from The Hobbit and like Lord of the Rings, and he was the guy who built the rings.
Oh.
Oh.
That you know, the Dark Lord Sauron took control of and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but like I had this idea. I was writing something, and I had like these characters that, you know, are like not into Lord of the Rings. You wouldn't typically think of them. They're like gangsters and strippers. And I wanted to have a conversation that felt out of place for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what about some deep, deep J.R. Tolkien?
Yeah, just to get into Tolkien lore.
Just to get deep into it. Just
and you're like, Sauron didn't make the fucking ring.
That's right. Sauron stole them.
Exactly.
He made the one ring, but he tricked Celebrimbor into making the others. And like that speaks to who I am, I guess, because I like to learn new stuff that I have no use for once I learn it. Like I have no intention to take my deep trivial knowledge of Lord of the Rings, you know, Silmarillion type appendice knowledge. No desire to take that any further than what I got. I got Celebrimbor off the search history.
They're not taking any submissions for that writer's room for that Amazon show?
You know, I think it's already being made.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, that's the writer's been in that for like 3 years. I
know. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'm talking like a parent who knows nothing about show business. They're like, you know, I saw that Amazon's making a Lord of the Rings. You should try calling them. Do you have Prime?
And I'm pretty sure that the Celebrimbor stuff is going to be in there. So, like, I may have to go even deeper
next time.
Way deep into it.
Okay, so that reveals something. You fuck with Tolkien. Yeah, when we first were like sort of reading about the show being announced and we saw some of the titling for the new Amazon series,
mm-hmm.
I was like, what is this? And then I was quickly told it's from the appendices.
Then the appendices, yo. That's right.
Is that like its own book? Or it's not like an appendices in the back of a book, right? Because I only have, I'm very Again, limited knowledge.
I don't really know that much about it because my research was just, you know, based on this urge to make my criminals really into Tolkien. But like there's like a whole like book called The Silmarillion that has like all of like these other things that happened before Lord of the Rings, the main mm-hmm. series that we all saw. So there's like there's jewels and there's enchanted trees and there's like dragons and stuff that just we never heard about. So there's a whole thing going on.
They got stuff to work with, it sounds like.
They got stuff to work with. And
they got hand-drawn maps and
annotated
histories. And Tolkien, he was deep in this universe.
He invented a whole new language.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for this series.
Like low-key, I did want a tattoo in Elvish
Nice.
I thought
it's a beautiful script.
I know. I was like, that shit looked cool. And then I was like, well, I don't even know the movie that well. I just saw the shit. And I was like, that would be sick if I put like The Valley or something, like 1984, gangster in Elvis. Let him know. Hey, that'd be actually a cool thing for your gangster people.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm not down with it.
That's right.
I need like, Legolas under it hitting a full squat, like just.
Oh, like a prison squat, like hand. Low.
Yeah, like him and Gimli, for sure.
Nice. That's not nice, because you don't want Gimli to squat, too. You know what I mean? It should be him and, like, a seal door or something. All right, whatever. Look, this is us just vibing right now. I have to ask everybody.
That's what we do.
What's y'all's favorite moment in the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Like, a moment that you like to watch, or you're like, fuck, man, okay, I like this.
Oh, there's a lot. I do love me some Shadowfax. Mm-hmm. Which is Gandalf's horse, because he gets his own name, and he's showing him the meaning of swiftness. I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of when the Witch King of Angmar dies. Gets the sword stuffed in his face, mm-hmm. because she is no man.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I enjoy that. And I like the giant elephant thingies.
Hell yeah.
In the last battle. I'm all for that.
Okay. Joelle, what about you?
I'm going to say all 10 endings from the last movie. Because it's one of my most memorable, it's like my top 5 memorable experiences at the movie theater. Because I could be like, and that's it. No, it's still going. There's still more. And I feel like I do that for a full hour. I was like, there's so much of this movie and it's so great. And every time I think the ending's over, it's not. But I love it because there's something new to explore. But if I had to pick just one, it's like You Bow to No Man, because I cry every time. Mm. I think it's really beautiful. What a lovely sign of respect after all the shit. You rarely get a moment so cathartic for your hero where you're like, wow. They really honor what sacrifices were just made. It's so good.
Mine is when Theoden says, Is this all you can conjure, Saruman? And I just like the way he says Saruman. Like, it almost, it's a shady line. And I'm like, I fuck with, and see, that's how dumb my like memory retention is. I'm like, I love when he says it. Is this it? Okay. Anyway, so.
Is this your king?
Yeah. Yeah. Little nerd talk for the listeners real quick. Gina, what's something you think is overrated?
The North Face.
I think
the North Face is overrated, to be 100% honest. I got a couple of things listed, but that one jumped out at me right away.
Now we're talking about the clothing company, not the North Face of an actual mountain.
Yes, the North Face clothing company. Like, I got a pair of shoes there, and I have a coat. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to live in Brooklyn, so you have to have a North Face jacket.
Right. You gotta have that bubble.
You live
jacket.
In Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Gotta have it. But like, it just, you know, it's just ski clothes. That's all it is. It's clothes for skiing. And like, everyone's wearing them, but like, you're supposed to ski with them. And like, this seems, I don't know. It's overkill. I want to see a little more imagination in my, you know, my street fashions. I just think that, I think that North Face is just, you know, it's played out. I'm feeling it. That's it anyway. I feel like there's just too much North Face out there.
Okay.
It's like the Midwest uniform, which is like, you know, a pair of black leggings, some brown UGG boots, and like, you know, a cream colored sweater, maybe, you know, something like a very basic, or one of the classic like navy blue North Face fleece can go with that outfit. You know, I get some people don't desire to be creative in their wardrobe, and that's a choice, you know. But I agree with you that if we're gonna go like style wise, like, this is functional clothing. It's not artistically expressive in any way. So yeah, you get to choose what's on your body, and like every day the North Face, that's choices.
Hey,
choices have been made.
Look, as someone who grew up in a very hot place, I'm not gonna lie, I love a puffer jacket. Because I can't wear them here. But you're damn sure if I go anywhere that's like below fucking like 60 degrees, I'm like, oh shit, I got to get the North Face. I don't have a North Face.
Yeah.
However, I will say this. If you like North Face, they had a fleece version of their Nuptse jacket, whereas fleece on the outside, that shit looked kind of cool to me.
All right.
Anyway, it's not a North Face podcast, but I get it. It's a little bit overkill. What else do you have as overrated?
The Slack. It's basically just aim for business people.
Peace. Right. Preach. Gina, preach.
Yeah. I have a day job, and they were talking about how this client was getting upset about using email. And like, there was this thread in the Slack channel where they're like, email is just so retro. We should give them a Slack channel. And I'm like, guys, come on. You're just aiming them. You're just texting them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Slack isn't this thing that like revolutionizes shit. It's just a little application you can talk on.
Right. Yeah.
It's also the great distractor. Like,
yes.
It absolutely just creates more chaos. They're like, no, like all your thoughts will be organized and neater in this platform. But what really happens is now not only do I check my email and my text mm-hmm. messages, but also I'm constantly being pinged by Slack. And because humans are humans, often it's not about work. And now I'm pissed. I mean, what are you dragging me into? I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. I hate Slack. When I was in freelance, every different place I was freelancing had their own individual Slack and they all expected you to check it 24/7. I have ADD. So obviously that didn't work. It was chaos. I hated it.
Yeah. Every time it's funny, like whenever I've been in a company with Slack, I just don't use it. I'm just like,
mm-hmm. I wish yo, I could
you
do this
email
same
me.
Thing.
You can either like we use Slack. I'm like, well, I don't. So
yeah.
Let's just fucking find me because I can't do my work and constantly have people asking like the most microscopic questions constantly and have to answer in real time. But anyway, shout out to the sponsor Slack. We love
you. Yeah, good old Slack.
Gina, what is something you think is underrated?
I got a couple things on the underrated.
Okay.
How to with John Wilson. I'm a big fan. I don't think people see it.
Yeah.
But I will spread the good word about How To with John Wilson. It's a documentary show on HBO.
We get to tell you about something?
Yeah, educate me. I'm ready.
Let her know.
All right, so How To with John Wilson is this documentary show. It's on HBO. They just wrapped a second season, and he basically goes out and he and his guys, they go out and they shoot a bunch of just random footage of like people doing weird stuff around New York City. Then he makes one of these video essays where he's just talking about, okay, well, here's how you find a great parking spot. And it turns into this weird philosophical rumination about what good parking actually means to you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Meanwhile, there's like all these like really charming, like, because they shoot so much footage, there's this really charming like montages of like stuff going around and it sort of fits in. Sometimes they tell little jokes like where they have like this thing about making friends and you go from like, these various businesses with a number of guys in the titles, like one guy, two guys, three guys, and eventually he gets to the Five Guys burger place.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just really charming. And then he'll do like these little interview packages with like these eccentrics that are like doing like whatever weird thing is related to the topic. This is a really cool, I really enjoy it. And it makes me miss Brooklyn because a lot of it is shot in the neighborhood I used to live in. So I get to like my old street. And I get to see, like, you know, my old, like, favorite restaurants as he's walking by. So I get a little nostalgia.
Aww.
And I get a little bit of, like, you know, artsy-fartsy video essay stuff going on. And it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I enjoy it a lot.
There's something about it, too, like, to your point. He also has, like, the budget to, like, really indulge his curiosity.
Yeah.
So, like, mm-hmm. in the very first episode, he'll go, like, he goes, like, Cancun for spring break by himself. And it's just, like... He's just like documenting it and like just saying his thoughts. And then he ends up like kind of seeing this one guy a couple times and they just start talking. And he's just very much just like just kind of letting his own curiosity lead it. And by the end, like this guy's revealing a lot about like why this other guy came down to Cancun by himself. And he's like a really heavy story. So it's like it really hits like a full spectrum of emotions every time. You'll like laugh and then you'll kind of be like, damn, mm-hmm. that was kind of heavy. And then you're like, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's all very, it's very well crafted. I haven't seen all of the second season yet, but I heard.
Got to see the second season. That's really good too. He gets more into his personal history, but yeah, definitely check it out. How To with John Wilson. I think all of the episodes are on HBO Max now. So
yeah.
Oh, he did How to Walk to Manhattan. Okay. Yeah. All right. So long-term documentary filmmaker. It's a TV show where he just goes explore his curiosities. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yes,
and he's like, and like Nathan Fielder, I think, is like, that was like behind getting the show made and things like that. So if you like Nathan for you, this will have a similar, not necessarily aesthetic, but it's in that universe, I would say. Because it's like just showing like, we will find these authentic, eccentric people.
These and eccentrics doing their own thing.
Just let it roll. The foreskin restoration guy was an episode to not watch with your parents.
Yeah.
Foreskin restoration.
And I don't even want to tell you how we get there, but the episode doesn't say that's what it is. Based on the title, you're not going to be like,
you're not going to know.
I'm going to see someone try and restore their foreskin.
It's like gone. You, I think you just have to let it go.
Yeah. And oh my God. It's gone. It's over.
And oh, I think, and I think most folks who possess or formerly possessed a foreskin and had it surgically removed when they were younger are probably okay with that. But this guy had a movement, had an idea. He wants the foreskin back.
And he's okay. And John, he's just there to document everything. He's not asking for anything. And the guy's just like, you want to see something? And you're like, oh, huh? And because he says yes to everything, it takes you on a number of journeys. So prepare yourself. Like the show, it can go to fuck. Like I said, the full spectrum. It's all there.
That's thrilling. Love it.
Takes you all a lot of places.
Well, yes, that's a fantastic underrated. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk some Florida shit.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we are back. Monoclonal antibody treatments. They've had a pretty big day in the last year, actually pretty big week. Previously, it was proven to be pretty effective against the Delta variant in terms of like a COVID therapeutic treatment and did help to save lives. But now that Omicron is the dominant variant in the country, researchers, the FDA, they're saying, you know what, let's pause some of these shipments of things like Regeneron and these other treatments, because it turns out they're not even close in terms of efficacy when it comes to this new variant. So really no point in using these because they are ineffective. That's what the scientists are saying. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis is pissed, screaming mad about it for some reason. And again, I just want to say this man is angry that an ineffective treatment is no longer being used. Okay. And I just want to, I guess I'll play a quick excerpt of a press conference that he gave where he was acting like the dream was collapsing in on him and he didn't know how to save everyone. So let's first hear from Governor Ron DeSantis on why this is just a bunch of BS baloney.
So you have all these issues that could be addressed. And so what do they choose to do with their time? They choose to pull the rug out of elderly patients, most of whom, almost all of them, have been vaccinated, and say you don't have access to this treatment. So we're going to fight back against this because this is just wrong. This is not the way, you know, that you help people. And our view is people have a right to access these treatments, and to revoke it on this basis is just fundamentally wrong, and we're going to fight back.
Oh.
Ooh, I love a spin doctor. Great. I love a spin doctor. He said awesome. They're hurting the elderly. Mm-hmm. Completely glossing over the point that it doesn't help. Like, yeah.
Doesn't work. Yeah.
Right. And I think it was interesting, right? He's saying that revoking access on the basis that the treatment is ineffective is bullshit. Like, let's really unpack that, because also the key word here is access, right? That means consumption. Yes. That means profits for a drug company. You know, for a drug company that one of his top donors has a significant stake in. One of his top donors, I mean, who's given over $10 million over the course of his career, runs a hedge fund that holds stock in the company that makes Regeneron. So that might be a reason that he would be like, why are we suddenly saying this? We can't use the thing that has turned out to be bullshit. Like, at this point, honestly, hydroxychloroquine may be better than Regeneron at fighting Omicron. But, you know, that's where he's found himself. And DeSantis has been pushing like the treatments whole thing. Like, we just need more clinics that are offering these pharmaceutical drugs. Because I think for him, it's a win-win, right, to just push the therapeutics, because he gets to flout CDC guidelines that keep people safe and also appear like the big, strong guy that he isn't, as well as creating like a constantly expanding pool of people that will need treatments due to infection. It's win-fucking-win. So I also want to check in with another politician who has ties to some pharma stock. Kind of said, oops, I didn't actually disclose that my wife bought some stock in a company that makes Remdesivir, another COVID-19 drug. Anyway, he went a step further than Ron DeSantis and is out here saying this is a straight up fucking murder conspiracy from Joe Biden.
The people who think we're a bunch of rubes in flyover country and they have utter disdain for us, these are the people who would actually limit our access to treatment for COVID. They are right now, as we speak, limiting monoclonal antibodies being sent to Florida. Too many deplorables, too many Republicans, too many conservatives are getting sick. And so their way to punish us is by not sending treatment. And I think it's abominable. And I think it's brought out the worst in people. You know, I've known people who died from COVID, and I've seen liberals stomping on their grave and just laughing hysterically that a conservative died from COVID. And I would never, ever do that for.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, maybe there is some metaphorical sea walking on the grave that I've seen on Twitter. You know, there are those posts that are merely going, conservative talk show host who was railing against vaccines and mandates dies of COVID.
Yeah,
that I understand, like, that there are stories pointing that out. But this idea that it's like they're just trying to kill people, you know, that's what this whole thing is about, I think is a really, really absurd notion. But again, that's.
Rand, he's gone a little cuckoo for a while now. Like, we kind of know that Rand Paul is sort of the sort of unholy mix between like self-assured white guy-ness and just batshit crazy talk. But like with DeSantis, it's a little different because, you know, he didn't start that way, and he just sort of like adopted the Trumpiness because he wanted to win, and he was running against Republican moderates.
Right.
When he was first elected, he didn't even think he was going to win. He didn't. So he tacked to the right of the guy that they thought was going to win. And now he's sort of, I don't know how much, I'm not in the guy's head. I can't say what he believes and what he doesn't, but like, he's sort of like stuck now play acting this, this like Trumpy right wing, you know, vax libertarian denier type personality, and it's worked for him. So he's, of course, he's going to stick with it. And yeah. I think it's true that, there's a financial incentive by being, you know, invested in stock with these companies. But I honestly, you know, the political gain he gets off of just sort of threading the needle, he gets to tell people don't take vaccines because those will kill you. Even though the pill and the, you know, and the monoclonal antibodies are made by the same pharmaceutical companies, put out, you know, in the same sort of distribution network.
Mm-hmm.
So how is vaccines a conspiracy to, you know, fuck with America, but the same company coming out with pharmaceuticals to treat COVID after the fact? Not, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right. But it doesn't have to.
I don't trust Pfizer. I trust Gilead right. and Eli Lilly. You're like,
exactly,
what?
Yeah.
But okay,
they're all the
sure.
same thing. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that he starts off, he's like, he's so concerned about people being sick, right? He's sort of using that to gain mm-hmm. some emotional traction with the viewer. Like, I mean, like, there are people dying, but he won't back prevention, right? It's
right,
never,
right.
hey, keep yourself from getting sick, because I would be terrible to get sick. But his whole thing is like, nah, man, well, because again, like, prevention isn't profitable, so fuck that. He's like, yeah, man, it's like when they're sick, then we give a fuck about mm-hmm. them, because then they can get a little bit of money trickling that way. But yeah, it is a very difficult thing to watch. And I think, like, with DeSantis, yeah, he definitely found, he caught a little wave. He thought he could yeah. ride to the governor house. You know, it reminds me of when Miley Cyrus made that album with Mike Will made it. And then suddenly was like, I don't do hip hop. But you know what? You found a lane, you rode the wave right. to where you had to. And then you're like, skirt, like, let me take it to the further right or whatever you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is just like, just so transparently opportunistic, like yes. when you hear that they both said access to treatment, which means subsidies, which means
yeah.
money. It's not,
and to a treatment that doesn't work and logically shouldn't, because it's not antibodies from Omicron. If Omicron's the thing that people have and your antibodies are from another version of the disease, of course it's not going to, that's just But
right. And that they're, and the variation within the viruses themselves, it's like, yeah, that one's very specific to that mm-hmm. one. This is new. It's called a health emergency. And yeah. that's what things fucking change. And we have to mm-hmm. fucking adapt. But, you know.
And obviously they know that, like, because neither yeah, of them is stupid. So then my question is, do you think they get a high, like, gambling with people's lives like this?
Mm, I don't know if they get a high, but it's clear that if they do the, like, chest out ignorant guy, like, macho shit that resonates mm-hmm. you know, and I think yeah. that's, and I think more than like being like, yeah, people are gonna fucking die, it's more like, yeah, man, my fucking numbers are going up, my clicks are going, more engagement, better mm. polling, and I think that's what, and they have no complete disregard for what, like, the actual repercussions are yeah. of that kind of rhetoric, you know.
That's a really interesting, like, way to view them, because not only does it, like, take the evil sting out of them, but it also sort of begs the question of, like, if this is a popularity contest, which it seems is sort of, it, like, you're here for being cheered on, like, you kind of need those people to live, and they're kind of mm-hmm. like right. dying in impressive numbers. Like, it is sort of frightening how many people yeah. who are not vaccinated are still getting, like, really, really sick, and like, I don't understand the end game here. It's like, no, we're just never going to deal with it, and we'll just keep going about our business, and we'll keep dying. You all can't last forever. It just, well, right. I don't understand the, I how this that, works.
That's inherently the absurdity of this sort of version of, like, mm-hmm. gaining power, you know, because if you were thinking, like, logically, and they don't, it would be like, well, how do I appeal to, like, the largest group possible? But here it's like, no, we're all in on basically doing, like, maybe a version of what Trump did, is get, like, racists yeah. and, like, ethno-nationalists so fired up that they can't resist.
Paranoid people in general, yeah. And yeah. and it's interesting that you bring up Trump, because I think with DeSantis, it's, that's a big deal for him, because now Trump is pro-booster, he's pro-vaccine,
mm-hmm.
mostly because he wants to take credit for the vaccines in the first place.
Right.
So now DeSantis is thinking, you know, he wants to run for president, doesn't want to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to find a position somewhere not in Trump's lane. So now he's got this really, like, specific thing where it's like, oh, vaccines, no, but these other things are okay, cool.
Right.
It just to give him a little bit of brand differentiation from Trump. And
yeah, he's like, and I'm not gonna talk about, you know, my booster status. I'm
yeah,
boosted,
exactly.
But
yeah, of yeah, course. Well, he's not gonna talk. Of course, he's not.
Yeah, and you know, and to be honest, Joel, I don't know if you know, they very well could be completely sadistic, and they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. I fucking love this sure. shit. Like, they're so dumb, mm-hmm. like, they die, whatever. Like, but also right. benefits for me, it's all good. And I'm sure on some level they do understand that, so I don't think
they
it
have
takes...
to. They have to at the very least understand, like, because they're vaccinated.
Right.
They're it's vaccinated, just, yeah, they
it's
have
wild
to understand,
to me.
Right.
But I think like, that's you, where, yeah, you're like, but I'm on this team, so I have to say, yeah. I have to read from this script. Which is completely antithetical to keeping a group of people healthy and alive, but it helps keep some pharmaceutical stock up.
And it helps keep their pockets lined, which I think, you know, yeah. to your point earlier, like, that's all that really matters. They have more money than they have the day before, and they're good with that.
Yeah. Wow, but, so what if, yeah. So what if all their supporters die and they don't go to office? I'm a millionaire now, and I can just ignore all of the ills of the world. In
the
my,
private
you know...
sector is just waiting for me to quit, baby.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I'll never be without money. I am not worried about it.
And you know, if their voters die, they'll just change the election laws so they can just write yeah. in the guy.
Oh,
we'll want.
Just redraw like, some, yeah. some lines.
You're redraw right. some maps.
They're like, you know what? Ghosts get 3 votes now.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like, what?
The Republican ghosts. Yeah.
Ghosts get 3 votes? They're like, I mean, oh, you want to disrespect the memory of the dead? You're like, I'm sorry. They don't participate in our living. Okay. Which I'm sure, look, I say so many jokey things like that, but who knows mm-hmm. when they're going to be like, you know, actually, if you had a loved one who passed away and you kind of know who they would vote for mm-hmm. Due to COVID, their vote's still going to count because we want to honor them. Okay.
We all got to become Scooby-Doo and try to unmask the ghosts. Be yeah, like, right. nuh-uh, we see exactly. you, DeSantis. Like,
right.
Get out of here.
It was DeSantis the whole time. Like, damn, kids. Speaking of, you know, absurdity, let's also talk about Biden's saggy poll numbers. Mm-hmm. You know,
I
they're
like
not
the title
great.
For this segment.
You know, I...
saggy polls.
Sorry, had to do it to him. Look, the poll numbers aren't great. They're better
not
than Trump's.
All.
That doesn't take much. But we're mm-hmm. also like in a very intense period of partisanship in this country, yeah. it turns mm-hmm. out. So, you know, polls are kind of affected in a number of ways. But there's a new poll that shows like a large majority of Americans are experiencing pandemic fatigue. Yeah, fucking no shit. The whole world mm-hmm. is. But also within that, they're talking about how, you know, a lot of people feel that Biden is not doing enough as it relates to handling the pandemic. I would say that's also true.
Also true. Yeah.
And. I'll like there. I've you see a lot of write ups whenever it relates to his poll numbers. There is like this common attack that you see coming at like progressives or like leftist politics or something. And that's the problem with like, you know, that's why the Democrats can't get anything done, which mm-hmm. used to be effective. Like, I get it. They tried that the midterms like or the last mm-hmm. election. They're like, you know, the defund the police thing was just too much. Mm-hmm. Just that's why we can't listen to these people anymore.
Yeah.
And just mm-hmm. go to the right. But. I'm like, what exactly are progressives asking for that is fucking up the agenda? Because last time I checked, living wages, abortion access, expanded LGBTQ rights, child tax credits, climate change policy, mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. like that were extremely popular with Americans, despite what
with the majority of people. Yeah.
Yeah. And that also means Republicans. You know what yeah. I mean? If 67% of the country is saying, yeah, I'm fucking with this, and you're equally polling Republicans, Democrats, independents, whatever, that means that these policies are widely palatable mm-hmm. for many people. And these are things that activists, progressives, whatever, have been fighting for. And now they're very mainstream ideas. These aren't like fringe concepts to be like, yeah, we should be humane to the citizens of this country. And again, last time I checked, it was Sinema and Manchin that were fucking up the party. And I don't think those are
honestly,
progressives.
Let's refocus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Who are we talking about right now? What are we talking about? So, and then, you know, the media will say stuff like, well, you know, if Build Back Better wasn't too so progressive, it wouldn't be unpalatable to Sinema and Manchin. You're like,
A bananas fucking thing to say when it's so clear how much reform is needed, like, immediately mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. not a day later. Like,
yeah.
We are, so it's particularly infrastructure has been a thing, like, in high school, I was talking about, like, the infrastructure needs of this country, and we haven't seen any kind of overhaul or major like shift to address a lot of these issues. And we're constantly hearing about like how dangerous our bridges are nationwide. It's an issue.
I mean, think about what happened in Pennsylvania right before Biden was to visit to give a talk on infrastructure mm-hmm.
bridge collapse.
Yeah.
it's dangerous for the left to ignore it too, because the right is starting to move in that direction. They're starting to be like, hey, you know what, poor people are getting fucked over, but they're changing the message to shift the blame to other positions. They're taking this sort of like groundswell effect, this sort of, like you said, ethno-nationalism, this like quasi-fascist type of thinking, where the problem, the reason why the poor is getting fucked over, is because of immigration, because of the things, not because of the things that progressives say is the cause, but the effect is the same. They're both talking about the poor getting fucked over and not having their wages increase and having, you know, money concentrated in the hands of elites. They're really going after the same thing. They should be going after the same thing, but the, you know, the centrist Democrats don't, they don't want to do that. They're like, they've got this weird like trauma about, you know, going too far left, because they're still not over Carter.
Right. Or trauma, or that we're just so entrenched in a corporatocracy, you know, like we've got this serfdom, every issue that we have, like economically, it's just that the way the system is made, it just cannot move in that direction.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we're at this stage now where like it's burned through most of the population. And now a majority of people are like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, this is all kinds of fucked up.
And now the wrong people are sending that message, and it's catching on. That's the problem. Like, you know, the new right, the ultra right, is they're going populist. They're talking about poverty. They're talking about, you know, wages being unequal. They're talking about things that regular people have been talking about for decades now. That Republicans,
but they're still not addressing. I mean, unless I listen,
they're not really. But they,
I'll say,
they're,
right, okay,
they're talking about it. They're making it the centerpiece of their, if you listen to like Tucker Carlson, and I know that's tough to do because that guy sucks, but like the core of his message now is that it's all anti-elitism. It's all about, you know, the common, you know, person getting what they deserve. It's all, they're using this sort of like groundswell kind of like Hungarian fascist model to bring support from the bottom up but they're selling it in this very Republican way. And that's dangerous, because traditionally it's been very easy to run against Republicans because, like, oh, they're all about the stock market. They're all about getting rich. And they are. But now they're also, you know, using this language of progressivism in their own way.
Right.
And it's taking the message away from us.
That continues to happen. Like, it's a smart tactic, too. And I think I would say that we find ways to do it as well. Particularly, like, I would say, like, centrist Democrats have found, like, how do we talk to, like, white racists so they like listen to us, like, you're trying like, to adapt one another's language in order to communicate. That,
right, but they're better at it, though, is the problem. The centrist Democrats have
can't fight
not,
you on that.
have not done a good job.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're like, should we go more towards fascism? You're like, no, what? What are you talking about? What do you stand for? And it's interesting that you bring that up, because we had a guest on last week, Amanda Moore, who went undercover, like, with the MAGA world and Q world. And, you know, attended a lot of events. And like, to your point, they're saying things like, hey, man, it doesn't matter if you don't know shit and you didn't go to college or you don't have a job or anything. We're going to show you how you can help contribute to, you know, maintaining this American dream. We'll get you taught up on how to run for school board and things like that. And yeah, the message is sort of like, it's arms are open. But Democrats are like, oh, what the fuck? So these working people need more assistance? What the fuck is that? That's not a winning message at all. Like going back on a lot of these campaign promises are not going to work. And I think, you know, it's no wonder that there was a lot of pressure from activists from like every kind of activism sphere being like, why isn't the administration giving like free tests out or masks? And then they finally did. And people, the poll numbers kind of went up because people were like, oh, wow, the bare minimum. Yeah, and before people were like, this isn't, like, what do these progressives want? Just honestly, like, most activists are more in tune with what the lived experiences of most people. So listen to them, you know, and they might give you, they might help your little fucking saggy polls.
Because those activists are generally not super rich themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And they're not coming from consulting firms that, like, you know, have an agenda to find a certain conclusion to a study, et cetera. So, It's just another day in this wonderful country. Okay, you know what? Let's actually take a quick break just to spread our wings a little bit. And we'll come back to, cause we just need to talk about our goth king, Nick Cage. We'll do that right after this.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. If I said Nicolas Cage was a goth, would that track with either of you?
It would make sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how you're envisioning a goth, but like he seems like a softcore goth, you know?
Okay.
He's not giant chunky boots and heavy black makeup, but he probably, I could hear him listening to death metal and, you know, I don't know, reading Marx.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Soft goth.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Two important details from Nicolas Cage. When the man had the money, he bought a dinosaur skeleton. Very
sure
goth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very goth.
I like that.
And when given, you know, the Marvel canon to be a hero, he picked Ghost Rider. Very goth.
Very goth.
Yeah.
Very goth.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, damn. See, I'm glad I got two experts with me here. Well, he just did an interview with the LA Times. And he discussed all kinds of things like his career, his relationship with his unky, Francis Ford Coppola, his kids, and, you know, even his new role playing Dracula in the upcoming film called Renfield. And the thing I wasn't aware of, again, is that he's a bit of a goth. He talks about his pets, and this is where he starts revealing his goth cred. He says he also has a crow named Hoogan, H-O-O-G-A-N, who lives in a geodesic dome at Cage's home in Las Vegas. This is a quote from Nick Cage. He has taken to calling me names. It's comical. At least it is to me. When I leave the room, he'll say bye and then go, ass. Ha ha. Crows are very intelligent and I like their appearance.
the Edgar Allan Poe aspect. I like the goth element. I am a goth.
Oh. This is the greatest.
Nice.
I can't believe I didn't see this before. I really love the idea of Nick Cage in his Las Vegas home, right? Mm-hmm. Is he one of those Vegas people who is constantly watering their lawns? They have like a lush green lawn and water quickly disappears? Or is he like embracing the desert aesthetic where it's like what do you call, I forget what you call those plants that grow in the desert.
Succulents, cactus.
There you go. Does he have a succulent garden, which to me, beautiful. And I also like that he has a geodome for his crow. There? Is he just throwing like rabbit carcasses in there? Listen, an entire movie on this alone. Like, I just want to see him get into his house. Like, his crow speaks, which I didn't know crows could do. Do they speak? Or is he just imagining this crow is calling him an ass?
I don't know. I found his home on Zillow and it looks like. It looks like Lex Luthor's fuck pad.
Yes, it does. Okay, perfect.
Nice. I'm going to put it in the chat so you can see it. Now, this is his former home that was listed at this last summer in 2021. So I don't know if that's the same as what he's got now. But this house definitely is not goth. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take your goth card, sir, if you're living.
Oh, that is not goth at all. Yeah, no. That looks like Kim Kardashian's house. That is very ungoth.
Very ungoth. What do you think his definition of goth is? Because clearly he's like, I like a crow, like Edgar Allan Poe. I'm goth. Like, I mean, it also just crow, feels like he just said that. You know what I mean?
The talking crow, very goth. Mm-hmm. The miniature Epcot Center for the crow to live in, not too goth. I don't know.
I still think squishy goth. Like, have you guys ever seen, like, the goth girls who, like, all their goth gear is pink. So it's the same kind of like giant metal thing. I think goths come in a beautiful array.
Yeah.
And true. I also feel true. Like if you just identify, like, I believe he has a dark soul. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, goths are some of the squishiest people, but their souls are dark. You think about like dark things a lot. And listen, I think if you're going to keep a crow in your house, there's a little goth in you somewhere.
I agree. But the crow lives in Epcot Center. So he mixes it up a little bit.
He's a Disney goth.
What's a more goth thing, like a skull cage or something?
Yeah, or just like some like wrought iron like cage that you could trace its lineage back, you know, to the Carpathian Mountains, something like that.
Oh shit! Right. He's like, this is actually purported to be like part of like a melted down collection of swords Vlad the Impaler had.
Exactly. Yes.
And you're like, okay. It's like, I'm looking at this. This actually, it's stamped. It says made in China on the back.
That's right. Bought it.
They make them all over.
Anthropology sells it. Yeah.
I would love to scam Nicolas Cage on some fake goth shit.
No.
I mean, I want to say maybe one of his dinosaur skeletons was fake. So I think the man can be scammed.
Yeah, maybe it's already happened, right?
I will say, though, he's not nuts. Birdsadvice.com says, yes, crows can talk in the same way as parrots do, using their syrinx, which is basically their vocal cords, to mimic words and sounds they hear and repeat them. Despite not always being so close to humans, they're pretty good at mimicking human speech without any mutilating, which is wild. If a crow ever spoke to me, that's it. Like, I'll die. Yeah. I'll fall on the ground. Don't speak to me, crow. I'm already afraid of birds. I can't.
Did you see that one TikTok? I don't know if y'all are on TikTok a lot, but there's a TikTok like that came out like 6 months ago that blew up about this lady who, or I don't know if it was, I forget who the person was, but this person like befriended a fucking crow, and they were just like first like kind of feeding the crow, and low-key the crow like was always just checking for this person, and eventually just like would fly on this person's shoulder, and they're like, oh my God, the crow fucking with me. I can't believe this shit. And it was one, it was like, I got so excited at the idea of like having a loyal crow. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm goth too. Fuck it. I mean,
it could be a little goth.
I think I'm more health goth.
Health goth. What is a health goth? I mean, that sounds fascinating.
That's like a whole sub like fashion style of goth of like, it's more like fashion, like black fat. Like,
yes.
Like you're wearing like life's like active wear, but it's more goth.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Goth active wear. I'm goth obsessed. Active.
Lululemon goth collection.
Yeah. I couldn't think of something less goth than you pull up in some Lululemon. You're like, hold on.
Lululemon collaborating with Hot Topic. We got the whole mall represented here.
Right. You got Jack Skellington, Lululemon yoga pants. Okay. You got something going on.
You got it.
Another thing that was really funny from this interview, too, is like there's this moment where he's talking about his inspiration, like in how he's going to model. He's playing Dracula in a fucking comedy horror. OK. And when he was talking about his research for this role, this is what he was saying. He's such an artist. The key, I think, is movement. I saw a movie called Malignant, and the director James Wan and the actress Annabelle Wallace created this choreography that was terrifying. So I'm hoping to do something like that, where Dracula can either glide or move like Sadako in Ringu.
All right. Love it. Amazing. Love it. Love it that he cites Sadako in Ringu and not, you know, the ring, not the new Watts.
He goes
OG.
Yeah.
He's fucking again, goth. Yeah. Very goth.
Right.
Yeah. I fuck it. So he's an icon, yo. Who would have thought?
I look forward to seeing what movements Nicolas Cage has come up with, if he did it by himself or if he got a movement coach to help guide him. This sounds like it's going to be amazing.
I hired the Jabberwockies, experts in dance and movement, so I could glide.
Watch, he's like getting a sick ass glide, though, like he's dancing. Like his Dracula, he's like really glide stepping. That might be actually something worth
it. I'm all for it. You know what? I'm going to be there. Yeah. I'm going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Just the same as I'm going to be there next Friday when that movie where they throw aliens throw the moon at Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Day one.
Absolutely.
So excited about that.
That's that level of commitment from me. Nicolas Cage, Dracula, aliens throwing the moon at the Earth. Day one. I'm going to be there for that.
You got to respect the man's like movie choices recently. Like he was Spider-Man Noir and Into the Spider, instantly iconic for the kids. Way to like just welcome yourself to that generation. Then he did Primal, which was horrifyingly like gruesome and amazing. And then Pig, which I haven't seen yet, but the reviews are out of this world. So
Pig is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out Color Out of Space. Another Nicolas Cage recent movie. It's his removing the rampant racism, but yet still doing H.P. Lovecraft type thing.
Nice. He is versatile. You know, he's been in a Coen Brothers film. He's won an Academy Award. Mm-hmm. He's got like, you know, he's no slouch with it, but he just sort of became a meme over the years because he's had some memeable performances and you can't blame him for that. And also, I guess it is kind of goth to like, be like deny that you're part of a really dynastic famous family and be like that's not me, I'm Nicolas Cage, ignore my driver's license where it says Nicolas Coppola.
fame is the cage, therefore I am Nicolas Cage.
I would say even the name choice of Cage is it's pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good.
Wow yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad I got some we got to drill that down because Nicolas Cage, come out with some like a goth line. I'm sure people will be like, what the fuck is this? And then some people are like, you know what? It's legit.
That's right.
And then lastly, I just want to touch on this Canadian trucker convoy. I don't know if y'all have seen the images of like Canadian truckers who are like, you know, moving along in this very, they say thousands of trucks long convoy to protest the vaccine mandates. they call it the Freedom Convoy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's exactly. And it started in Alberta, Canada, and has made its way across the country. And it ended on Friday, I believe, in Ottawa. And this has been a thing that the right wing media has really like latched onto because they like the idea that there are also, you know, ignorant people who are anti-science in Canada as well. That they're like, hey, look what's going on here. Donald Trump Jr. even like posted about it. And was saying like that this is a genius idea, like as he was, I guess, in between doing bumps of cocaine or something. Mm-hmm. But I guess it was because they're standing up for medical freedom. Elon Musk even tweeted that Canadian truckers rule, followed by a tweet that said that CB radios are free from government and media control, like as if to like underline their cred. But I would just check the FCC website.
Yeah.
About that, because there is something, the mobility division. Never mind. Don't worry about it. They're not controlled. Just because you can scream shit out on anything you want on a CB radio doesn't mean that it's not regulated on some level. And, you know, again, the American media has been, especially the right wing media, has been like amplifying this shit and the whole like fake narrative around it. Fox News, they're like, we got to get a Canadian person's take on that. They basically were just figured, I guess, all hockey players are probably Canadian, like, and politicians. So they interviewed this former player, Theo Fleury, who claimed, who's also like a COVID conspiracist. So he's perfect for this.
He claimed the Ottawa protest would draw 50,000 trucks and 1.4 million people, which doesn't track, considering that about a half million more people, like that's about a half million more people than the entire population of Ottawa. But go off. You know what I mean? I get it. Y'all got support. Tucker Carlson even had a whole segment saying that there's thousands of trucks, you know, moving along this whole convoy. And some have said that this is a Guinness World Record breaking truck convoy and that it's 50,000 trucks. Well, a few people who are near it did some counting. Estimates are closer to the hundreds, not the thousands or tens of thousands as they need, because it's also about lying about how big your movement is. And even though the 50,000 number was like Snopes was like nopes on that. And other people, like even local police departments, were like actually counting and posting how many trucks and vehicles were part of it. Even number one asshole Joe Rogan was even saying, like, he's like, oh, man, like, look, they got $50,000. Like, the country is in revolt. But most truckers in Canada are like, this is such a small portion of our entire workforce, considering that about between 85 and 90% of truckers are fully vaccinated in Canada. So,
yeah,
it stands to reason. What is this?
And the deep, really stupid irony of it, of course, it is just a fundraising campaign for neo-Nazis like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, because everything is these days. Everything's a fundraising campaign for neo-Nazis.
Oh, yeah. There's always money involved. There's no real activism involved. Right. It's always money.
But like their complaint is that the Canadian truckers have to show a vaccine, proof of vaccination to enter the United States and back again. Mm-hmm. But like the United States also has that requirement.
Right.
So it's not like if you Canada stopped it, they still wouldn't have to show a vaccine. Because when they get to America, they have to show a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's literally protesting nothing. Well,
okay, but you're saying too much real stuff out loud. Okay, that's the cover, because as you said, it is just a neo-Nazi parade. Crowds of like these like supporters that have been cheering, they're like waving Proud Boy flags, like they're going off to war or some shit. Other people, like, who've just, like, anecdotally snapped pictures of people in the convoy, like, in Ottawa, they were flying, like, Confederate flags off of their trucks. And, you know, a lot of, like, there's an extreme right neo-Nazi group who's, like, urging the protest to, quote, turn this into Canada's very own January 6th. And it's not just the random supporters. The convoy itself has been organized and managed by people with connections to these, like, extremist groups, like the Yellow Vests. They're a right-wing group that wants, like, Western Canada to separate from the Western, like, the rest of the country. And they fucking have raised over $6 million on GoFundMe.
Yeah. Yeah, of course they did.
Luckily, there's too many questions about, they're like, how are y'all using this? They're like, it's for food and lodging. They're like, $6 million, fam. GoFundMe, they're like, we'll release a million of it. But if you're looking for the other five, you actually need to show like where this money's going, because it looks and stinks like a Nazi grift, which ding, ding, ding. It seems like it is. But the other thing is that the person who launched this whole campaign is not even a trucker. She was part of this group called Wexit that was essentially saying they wanted Western Canada to join Donald Trump's America. And of course, everybody's just loving the proximity.
Famously conservative Vancouver, Canada. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of the last places to legalize cannabis on earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's, again, this is all part of, you know, this, like, they're finding their kindred spirits across the border and saying, like, yes, maybe we can do something here and make both of our countries even worse. But yeah, it's just wild to see that this is like a fundraising thing for a growing alt-right movement in Canada.
I just want these guys to stop overpromising. Like, a couple of hundred is a good number, y'all. You do not have to be out here saying 1,000 showed 50, up. 000. You're going to be proved every... Like, you're obviously going to be proven wrong, because there's people out there, this is all they do for a living. Mm-hmm. They're like, what were the numbers for this event? It's important to track. Other than that, like, I don't know. It's having seen many a parade with a Confederate flag waving, I'm just glad we've entered an era officially where we can be like, yo, no, that flag is just straight up racist.
It's just straight up
racist. Like, we've removed it off the state flags now. So, you know, we lost the war pretty officially. Hopefully we can all just move on and just acknowledge what is happening and be like, no, that's just Nazis doing their Nazi thing.
Hey, but not my car, General Lee.
There you go. Might see this time, I was doing stand-up in Pennsylvania. Union State. Mm-hmm. Central Pennsylvania. Allegheny Mountains. I was on this. I was opening for a conservative comedian. I don't know how my life got to this point.
Oh my God.
I am a very leftist trans woman stand-up comedian. Originally got started in Brooklyn. Now I live in LA. Somehow or other, I got hooked. I got connected with this guy. He wanted an opener, and I got picked. He was fine. He was more of like a Long Island conservative, just a little bit of an asshole, but
hate
people. Yeah, like a diet racist, exactly. Right. But we go and we do this show at a bar in like Allegheny, Pennsylvania, and there's a Confederate flag, in the bar.
Hmm.
And I'm like, and I get up and I'm like, guys, what's the Confederate flag?
Hey, y'all know what this place was back then?
You know, this is Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this didn't exist there. Like,
they love their hate symbols. You know,
they love it. No other reason for that to have that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, it everything is just a sad, sad grift. Like we're saying, it's never like a real earnest campaign to help people. And if it is helping someone, it's just the organizers become somewhat just a little bit more wealthy. Okay, well, good luck to the Canadians with that. Gina, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Where can people find you, follow you? I know you have a show for all the locals out here in Los Angeles. You have a show, Fun Town, at the Lyric Hyperion, but I'll let you plug all that.
Yeah, that's a monthly. We're starting, it's going to be February 10th, and then again on March 10th, and then we're going to figure out the dates after that for shows with Lori Kilmartin and a bunch of other really, really funny people. If you're in LA, you can also see me. I hit the improv a lot, doing my usual comedy rounds. I actually tour all over California, so you might see me in big cities like Modesto. Recently played there.
Ooh, okay.
The big time.
Cowtown.
Yeah. Otherwise, you can find me on social media at Gina Bloom, and that is J E E N A B L O O M. And that's everywhere. TikTok, that is Twitter, that is Instagram.
What kind of TikToks you post? Are you just lurking on there?
I'm lurking right now. Mm-hmm. I have plans. Thing is, I don't want to do, like, I got a lot of friends that they're in comedy. They do TikTok. They're doing like jokes. They're just, you know, telling their lives. That's cool. I have some ideas for TikToks that I want to make. I just haven't had the energy to get them out there. I just want to do something that's maybe a little bit different than what other people have been doing. I don't want to contribute more of the same.
That's the curse of our generation on TikTok. Yeah. It's like, well, let me think about what I'm going to contribute to this. Whereas most young people are like, what's the challenge? Here we go.
Yeah, here we
Terrible
go.
Terrible editing. Yeah. Don't give a fuck. Millions of views. You're like, what the fuck, man?
Here's my cat. Yeah.
I spent 6 days on a YouTube video when I was your age. Damn it.
Yeah. we gotta think. We gotta plan. We can't just, you know,
too much
dance
self-editing
with our cats.
In our heads. It's bad.
Too much.
It's not our fault. It's inherent in the children. It's inherent.
Yeah, exactly. Gina, what is a tweet or other social media post that you want to give a shout out to that you liked?
This came out yesterday. I don't remember who was the original poster, but it is saved in my Twitter feed. There was a wonderful Photoshop of Che Diaz, the character from the Sex and the City reboot, of their fictional Netflix special. It was called A Breath of Fresh Air. And it was beautiful. I love it. And also, I'm going to say, Che Diaz, kind of underrated as a representation of the queer comedy community, because they are irritating and they do not shut up about themselves, which is the queer comedy community in a nutshell.
This is my favorite queer discourse happening in the streets right now, is like
the JDS stuff.
Right. Is it I listened to a podcast the other day, and I won't call them out, but they're queer podcasters, and they were like, we're not that annoyed, and they're comedians. They're like, I don't feel this is an accurate representation of us. No, we're cool. It's the writers that are the problem.
No, it's very accurate. Che Diaz is, everything else is inaccurate. People's reaction to Che Diaz is inaccurate. Che Diaz themselves, very accurate.
Right.
The real Che Diaz would be like, the people would be like, who is this moron? Which is what happens to real queer comedians. Che Diaz, in and of themselves, hyper-accurate, underrated documentary precision of the queer comedy community.
What was the tweet that you posted, Gina? Something like Che Diaz's full name is like Che Diazepam or something?
Yeah, Che Diazepam. God. Yeah.
That's just so funny.
Then I had, I love me some Che discourse. I had this other one earlier. Was like, the one realistic part about the new Sex in the City is that the non-binary podcaster won't stop telling everybody that they're a non-binary podcaster.
Shout out MB podcasters across the world.
That's right.
Joelle, thank you for, you know, helping me right this ship as we sailed off into the podcasting waters. Where can people find you and follow you and hit us with some tweets you like?
Yeah, okay, here we go. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's Joelle Monique. So here's some tweets I've been liking. At Solo Dolo, it's spelled the French way. There are some X's in there. Trying to think of the worst date I ever had. Probably that dude that yelled out at Fogo, "Hey, nigga, bring that meat back over here." But you got to crawl under the table after that. Yo, you can't be seen with them.
That's so wild. Again. I had a homie grab the guy by the wrist once.
Oh, hell no.
He said, and I was like, bruh. Okay.
Just chill. We don't grab waiters, okay?
I'm like, we're trying to look nice in here. Don't be grabbing these people.
Bring that meat back here.
It's so real.
At Mr. Salt said, "I'm a leftist public school teacher, and if I could indoctrinate your children, they would wear deodorant and stay off their phone during class."
Love it. Love it.
So I really appreciate it. And finally, from Jamie Girac, whose Twitter handle is at Jamie Cinematics, tweeted, "Black chrysanthemum could eat Baby Yoda and I would still love them." And I agree. Shout out to everybody who's watching Book of Boba Fett. Black chrysanthemum is my new favorite character. I need more of him. There's a black Wookiee, y'all. That's the greatest thing to ever happen.
Oh, that's the one who was rolling with the twins?
Yeah.
Saw the episode where they just beat he tried to come through to murk him. And
that fight was good.
That was a
good ass fight.
Yo, and it felt like you actually saw like Wookiee strength in that fight.
Right?
Where it's you want to get fucking tossed? You want to get ragged? I'm a fucking Wookiee. Anyway, I felt that. I'm still behind, though.
I feel you.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Let's do some tweets that I like. First one is from Asher Perlman. At Asher Perlman tweeted, "There is no one I have less in common with than the me who wrote my Facebook statuses circa 2008.
Woo! Absolute truth.
Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. That's it. For those of us that are old enough for that to be like a very different person, I couldn't even imagine.
I changed an entire whole ass gender between those years. I can't even imagine what 2008 me was saying.
Some girl was in her hoe phase and she had tweeted out a bunch of her Facebook comments. She was like, "Why was I so horny all the goddamn time?" And it's always like, "Going out to eat, get ready, sluts." And it was just
like, what?
Wild. What's happening?
Hey, what's the best deep dish pizza, hoes? All right. Second one is from Chris Stevens at Chris Stevens MD tweeted, "When I was 18, my grandma came to see me at an open mic and the host pointed at her and went, 'Yo, why the fuck is Eleanor Roosevelt here?'"
Oh, that's no!
I'm sure that feels like something that would fuck with you with your first open mic. Finally, at Brody Gupta tweeted, "Winnie the Pooh, you know the fucking deal with honey by now. Get a spoon." And yes, why are you just taking big old pawfuls?
There you go.
He's a messy little bear.
I know.
What's the cutest factor of Winnie the Pooh? That he doesn't wear pants. He's just out here like, ooh, so
nasty.
So
probably sticky as shit. You go to his cave where he lives, where the fuck he lives, you're like, bro, everything is all fucking sticky in here. Fuck.
Probably why he doesn't wear pants, because they just got sticky. He's like,
You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. And also, if you like trash reality show, check out 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexander and I. I'm going to be out the next 2 weeks, taking a little trip. But if you tune in this week, Ashley Ray will actually be guesting with Sophia to talk 90 Day. And I don't know anyone better to be talking 90 Day than Ashley Ray.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, it's a good, real good pick. Strong, strong pick. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you. Daily Zeitgeist also, it's a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Now, before you go, let's tell you a song that we're gonna ride out on. I want to do this track called Satellite, which is from the Insecure soundtrack, but it's a Thundercat track with Radio, Lewis Cole, and Genevieve Artadi. And Lewis Cole is an amazing musician. If you don't know Lewis Cole, look into Lewis Cole. Really talented. But this track is called Satellite, and you already know it's going to be a wonderful sonic experience with great vocals, great bass playing, and great rhythm section. So I guess that's it for today. We'll be back with what's trending in the afternoon, and until then, we will talk to y'all later. All right, bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.